In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. A blessed new year to you all. One of my seminary professors, whose name is Thomas Tangaraj, was from the Anglican Church of South India. And he shared with us an interesting New Year's tradition that they have in that church, in the Anglican Church of South India. No matter how the calendar falls, every year on December 31st, they have a service that begins around 11 p.m. So they have a Eucharist and a sermon to end out the old year. And then they stay in church, and they have another Eucharist with another sermon to begin the new year. So I'm really glad we're doing it this way at St. Catherine's this year. But it sounds like a lovely tradition, actually. And I'm glad we can celebrate both the end of the old year, which we had our 5:30 Eucharist yesterday, and the beginning of our new year today in this space, in church. So here we are celebrating the beginning of a new year, and also, in a few minutes, a baptism. It's a wonderful way to start this new year. Today, also, in our tradition, is the feast of the holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this feast falls on January the 1st, but we usually don't celebrate it. We don't celebrate it on a Sunday unless it falls on a Sunday. And I don't remember this happening for a long time. I can remember back in the 90s this happening, but it must have happened or else we had a leap year, but I've lost my memory. So it's lovely to celebrate this feast on a Sunday. Now we celebrate the feast of the Holy Name of Jesus because of what was read in the Gospel. Because on the eighth day, according to Jewish law and tradition, Jesus' parents brought him to the temple to be circumcised and to be named and to be dedicated to God. And since we celebrate Christmas on December 25th, this is the eighth day of Christmas, January the 1st. Now, when I think of the holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ, two things come to mind. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And also this prayer, which is in our prayer book in the healing service, which some of you may be familiar with, but I think it's a marvelous prayer, so I'm going to share it with you. The Almighty Lord, who is a strong tower to all who put their trust in him, to whom all things in heaven, on earth, and under the earth bow and obey, be now and evermore your defense, and make you know and feel that the only name under heaven given for health and salvation is the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is one name above all names, Jesus Christ. But also, Scripture gives us many wonderful images and metaphors for Christ. Many of these come to us from the Gospel of John. Which one resonates most for you, or which ones? Christ is the true vine. Christ is the door, the good shepherd. Christ is the light of the world, the way, the truth. Christ is the bright morning star, the gate, the word. Christ is our friend, our teacher, our savior, our Lord. I may have forgotten some. What is your favorite image for Jesus Christ? That may be something you want to ponder and live with this coming week. And what a wonderful day for a baptism. In a few minutes, I'll be baptizing Neil Frederick Hammond, whose parents and grandparents brought him here, and his whole family, big family, most of them are here. Most of you know Sybil and Bert Katala and their children who grew up in this church, so he's going to be a third generation St. Catherine's person. And he also made a cameo appearance that some of you know as baby Jesus on Christmas Eve. He was the baby. So it's even more wonderful that he's being baptized on the Feast of the Holy Name. So they have brought him here, and in a few minutes we will officially give him his Christian name. That's why this was called christening. And he will be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And as baptism, he will be made a part of the body of Christ, the church, not only this congregation, but the whole church. He will be adopted as God's child, as Paul spoke of in the letter to the Galatians. And he will be given gifts by the Holy Spirit for the good of the community. Now, every time we celebrate a baptism, we can be reminded of our own baptism. And we will renew our baptismal covenant together in a few minutes. Even though many of us were baptized as infants, and so we do not remember the actual event, most of us, each time we celebrate a baptism in our community, we are reminded of the promises that God gives to us in our baptism, and promises that we make, or our family makes in our name if we're an infant, promises we make to God. And just like there are so many wonderful images and metaphors for Christ, there are also, the New Testament is rich with metaphors and images of what it means to be baptized. When we're baptized, we die and rise with Christ. We are reborn into eternal life. We are anointed for ministry in our baptism and made part of the priesthood of all believers. We are made part of the body of Christ. And finally, when we are baptized, we are adopted as children of God. Now, I have several close friends, both happen to be priests, who have adopted children. And if you have adopted children, or you are adopted, or you know someone who has adopted, you know that it is a long, usually a long and roller coaster-like experience. And the timing is never sure, even though usually if you're having a biological child, you have some sense of when the child will come, and in adoption, you do not know. And adoptive parents have to be willing to take a lot of risks. They do not know often the health histories of the parents of the children that they are adopting. And sometimes if you're adopting an older child, you don't know how well the child has been nurtured and how that early life might affect their development. So an adoptive parent, particularly an adopting not an infant, but a little bit older child, has to say yes to all these risks in order to accept a child into their life. Like any parents, they risk loving with all their hearts, but often with many more unknowns. And I'll never forget being with my friend Lindsay the day that she brought her adopted son home from the hospital. He was an infant. Or being with my friend Anne when she brought Azalech home from Ethiopia. She was about 2 and a half. The joy was just tremendous. But it strikes me that God is very much like an adoptive parent. Because God adopts all of us in our baptism, every single one of us, without any guarantee of how we will turn out. God risks loving us and gives us free will so that we can choose to go towards God or away from God. And God risks loving us, even though when we do turn away from God, it must grieve God's heart. But God accepts each of us unconditionally, just as we are. And also, God wants each of us to grow into the person we were meant to be from the gifts we were given in our baptism. As we strive to do this, which is a lifelong process, the baptismal vows are a good place to start. In the Episcopal Church, we say that our theology is not really in a book of doctrine, like the Methodist Church has a book of doctrine and the Catholic Church has a lot of doctrine. We have doctrine, but our theology is in our prayer book. It's in our liturgy. And that's why every time there's a change in the liturgy, there is a lot of discussion and a lot of study and a lot of angst, really, in the church. So, to look at what we think it means to be a Christian, what the Episcopal Church thinks it means to be a Christian, you look at the baptismal service. We make 5 vows in that service, and in a few minutes we will all be making these again together as a community. We promise to worship regularly in a community of faith, to pray together, and to learn and study together. We promise to resist evil and to ask God for forgiveness whenever we sin. We promise to live our faith so that others may see that we are a Christian by the way we live, and to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. We promise to seek the face of Christ in all people, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And finally, we promise to strive for justice and peace among all people, and to respect the dignity of every human being. Now that is a tall order. That is a life's work. It is our life's work as Christians. And the good news is that we do not do this alone. We cannot do it alone. We can only do it in partnership with God, with God's help. And that's why our answers will be, "I will, with God's help." We will promise this morning also to do everything we can to help this young child to grow up in Christ, and all the children in our midst, we promise to do that. And we can do this because God loved us first. We can do this because God has adopted all of us as his children. And we can do this with God's help because all of us are beloved children of God. Amen.
Amen.